Come up, please. All right, if you would stand, let's turn to page 222. I'm throwing my musicians off. Page 222. I sing the mighty power of God. We'll sing all three verses, all right? Sing with me. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good. Heart displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Amen. It's sure good to see you this morning. It's good to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, where we can get together and worship our great God, lift up, magnify his name. That name is above every name. It's good to see you. Trust that the Lord would add his presence both in his accompanying all that would go on, but also that he would add his power to see him show himself mighty today and working in our hearts and our lives. Well, it's good. It's good to be together. Trust that we'll go ahead and just shake some hands and welcome each other in the name of the Lord. Be sure to get around and say hello to our visitors today. Let's do that right now.
Thank you.
right. Y'all know the drill. You're still standing. If you would do that, let's turn to page 361. 361. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
You can be seated. Please stand once more, and let's turn to page 126. 126. We'll sing the first, third, and last verse.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims bride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring.
I
John the Second. My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above.
On the fourth,
our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may your land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
You may be seated.
This weekend, we do celebrate Memorial Day, and I know many of you, most of you hopefully, share as I do a great appreciation for those who have served our country, and especially ultimately for those who have given their life for our country. Memorial Day is really about, and it's not Veterans Day or at Veterans Weekend, but I'm going to do this anyway. I'd ask anyone that has served in the military of our nation to please stand. If you served in the military, go ahead and stand. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Taylor is in active reserves, I believe, and Matt Holder will be back with us. I believe they're planning to be here next weekend, the family, for a few weeks. And Matt will be preaching in the Wednesday night service. I guess that'd be the first Wednesday in June. Looking forward to seeing Brother Matt. And it looks that he's on schedule to return. I think it's his first time to Afghanistan. He's been in Iraq. So please be in prayer for him. Thank you for all of you that have served, and appreciate you so much. We have a short video that we found that I think it really, really drives home the message of what Memorial Day is all about. Is that ready to go? All right, let's just watch that.
Thank you. gentlemen, if y'all take your places, we'll get ready to take this morning's offering and go for a few announcements. Secret Sisters drawing will be this morning in the foyer right after the morning service this morning. Tonight, after the evening service, we will be having a youth activity that's inviting the sixth graders, and this is parents and everybody. If you have a child in the youth department or soon to be in the youth department, sixth grade up, you're invited tonight. And we're also having a camp meeting while we're there. So if you have kids that's going to be going to camp with us here in a few weeks, please make plans to be with us tonight on that. Teachers meeting is going to be Tuesday at 7 o'clock. See Brother Chuck for more details on that. And the ladies are planning committees on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Men's fellowship this Saturday. We're going to have a meeting right afterwards, and for those who's going to go on that to the camp out and shoot out. Now, I was handed a definition. It says the definition of shooting: converting money into noise. I can understand that. TTU graduation June 1st. Please make plans for that. Youth camp, June 9th through the 14th. Folks, that's just right around the corner. I'm excited about this. It's going to be a good one. We're going to take one of the largest groups that we've taken since I've been here. In fact, the largest group. And please be in prayer about that. We will be handing out, well, I told the kids it's their trading cards, little cards that has their pictures on it and stuff for y'all to pray for them while they're away. And directories on June 1st, it's a Saturday. We'll be blocking off times to finally get our pictures taken for the directory for those who's new members and some of us who need retakes and everything of that nature. So please see Miss April for that. So I think that's about all we need to talk about this morning. So thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thanks for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the offering we're about to receive. Please bid the gift in the giver. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we set this aside today in America to honor our just Memorial Day, Lord. And we can do that and say thank you for dying on the cross for us. Lord, right now, also bid the preacher as he comes. Hide him behind that cross. Give him the words you want him to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
celebrate Memorial Day on Monday, and we're here to honor those that have served for us in our place to keep our country safe. And it's close to my heart this year because our son Kyle came home in February from Afghanistan, and he's now out of the Army and with us. But the whole time that he was over there for the full 9 months, we prayed for him every single day. We prayed that God would put a protective hedge around him and keep him safe and bring him home to us. And he did. And the reason that we were able to stand on his promise is because Jesus Christ is the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Thank you, sister. You can be turning this morning two places in Scripture, really. Psalm 23 as we begin there, but also John chapter 10. Find your place in both those passages, Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. We begin there in Psalm 23. If you found your place in reverence to the Word of God, please stand with me. Read these amazing words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, once again, we bow before you, and we cherish these words. We're so grateful for the sweetness of them, the power of them, the truth of them. Father, I'd ask you today once again that you'd be pleased to lift up the lovely name of your Son. And more than anything else, we might exalt our Shepherd, our Lord, our Savior. And Lord, again, I ask you to quiet us, arrest our attention. Would we hear from you today? Please, Lord, the last thing these dear folk need to hear is from a preacher. Might you step in and deliver a message to our hearts. Might your word be mighty and powerful. Have free course to accomplish all that you would order for it today. Father, I don't know if there might be some in our midst today that don't know you, don't know your Son as their Savior. I'd ask you, Father, that more than anything, you would exalt Christ for them. Might they see him in his love and his grace, his mercy. They see him in his great love for them and their soul. Would you draw them, Father, to yourself today? Save. Save, Father, for your name's sake, your glory, but also for the good of precious, precious souls. We love you. Thank you again for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. Dear ones, I don't believe there's a single word written in the Bible that's not inspired of God. This cherished psalm has a unique message in some ways within the Word of God. We realize that the Christian life is not really about us. It's about Christ. It's about Him. And we get our focus, well, we get out of focus when we lose sight of that. Now, certainly, the Lord is exalted and magnified in Psalm 23. But here in this wonderful portion of Scripture, I believe God also has another special word for us. David declares the Lord as his shepherd. And in that, we see that the Lord, our shepherd, is all that we can need for anything. And we'll look at that specifically along the way. But review with me the me statements that David makes here in Psalm 23. Would you read with me once again? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, preacher, what do you mean by bringing that to our attention? I believe that David is rejoicing in God's care for him, his shepherd's care for him. And how the shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, is consumed with your good. You know, I've taught from this psalm several times, taught through this psalm several times, but never really picked up on those me's. How personal this is for David. And as a fulfillment of his complete care, the New Testament goes on and illustrates the care of the Lord our shepherd for us in at least three designations of our shepherd. Today, this morning, this evening, we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. We'll see him as the chief shepherd, and we'll also see him as the great shepherd. Jesus Christ is indeed the good shepherd. And it was some months ago, I believe, and when we went through those I ams of the New Testament describing the Lord Jesus Christ. But there in John chapter 10, we find that passage of Scripture And I'd like us to look at it again, if you would. We see Jesus Christ and His care for us, His love for you and for me as the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, we begin reading there in verse 11, where Jesus Himself declares, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and what? Careth not for the sheep." Jesus goes on to say, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." As the good shepherd, Jesus cares for his sheep. Now, as we look at this, I want us to see very clearly what the good shepherd is noted for. What is that? What do we know the good shepherd for? His sacrifice. The good shepherd gave himself, gave his life for his sheep. With that, we ask the question, why is it that he had to give his life for us? Well, indeed, we see he gave himself as our good shepherd to deal with our penalty for sin. To deal with the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? Well, Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 18, verse 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In Romans 6 and verse 23, those familiar words to us from the New Testament, where it says the wages or the payday of sin is death. From the beginning, beloved, from the very beginning, in the book of beginnings, in Genesis, God's warning for disobedience was death. Was death. God forbid Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We understand that command. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, those simple but very clear words, "Thou shalt not eat of it," speaking of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "Thou shalt not eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Die. What was the consequence for disobedience to God's command? Death. Death. It's very important to realize that sin brought a threefold death penalty upon man. It brought a penalty of spiritual death. It brought a penalty of physical death. And it brought the penalty of eternal death upon man. And I want us to look at this today, but also not just to look at the penalty, but to see what our good shepherd in his care for us has done to satisfy that penalty. Well, we see this threefold penalty. And first is that, of course, that penalty of spiritual death. Now, there's those who don't believe the Bible, and they make fun of Genesis from beginning to end. They make fun of you for believing that the heavens and the earth came into existence at the command of God's word. Very word of his mouth, God created the heavens and the earth. And oh yes, even including some preachers like to make fun of that of that declaration from the book of Genesis. But those who do not believe the Bible argue that Adam and Eve did not die when they ate from that forbidden tree. But that, beloved, is really a statement of ignorance. It's a statement out of their ignorance to not understand. They did die that day, beloved. They did die first. They immediately died spiritually. They recognized, they acknowledged what? Their nakedness. Their eyes were open to the knowledge of good and evil. They immediately died spiritually. Death in the Bible always involves separation. And on that infamous day, because of sin, man was separated from God. That wall of separation spiritually was established, and man was cut off from God. Sin set up that barrier between the Creator and His creation. Their separation was so clear, so obvious to Adam and Eve. What did they immediately do? They hid themselves. They hid themselves. There is the penalty of spiritual death, but as well, there is that penalty of physical death. There's no avoiding the fact that physical death was also a result of sin's separating power. The moment that Adam chose to disobey God, death took hold in his life. And all men, since Adam, die. You cannot travel in any direction, very long or very far, before you come across the cemetery. Should be enough testimony to us. A cemetery should be enough testimony to us that indeed there is a consequence to sin, a physical consequence to sin. All men die. Nonetheless, outside of the rapture, that last generation of believers, all will one day die physically. But then thirdly, there is as well the penalty of eternal death. Beyond spiritual, beyond physical death, all those who die outside of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord will die eternally. Yes, there's no such thing as a second chance once you leave this earth. The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance beyond this life. The Bible consigns all those who do not know that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, to what is called the second death, or being separated from God forever, forever in hell, that lake of fire and brimstone. That threefold death penalty, beloved, is testimony to sin's destruction. The sin's devastation upon man. But with that declared, with that stated, thanks be to God, thanks be to our good shepherd, Christ has come in his care for us to deal with the death penalty. When Jesus Christ came as good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep, and his sacrificial death dealt with all three aspects of that death penalty. And it's sure a whole lot more fun to talk about what he did for us out of his love and care than to pronounce the death penalty itself. First of all, Jesus died to save from spiritual death. He reconciles us to God. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, "They shall call his name Jesus." And what's the explanation? "For because he shall save his people from their sin." Jesus came to be that payment for sin. Jesus saves, beloved. Aren't you thankful you can sing that song? And it's not just words, but it's a reality of what you've experienced through his good grace to you. Jesus saves. He delivers his people from their sin. Jesus died in the sinner's place to pay sin's penalty. He took God's judgment. He took God's wrath for us, for our sin, upon himself. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, where the instruction from Paul is to us to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Now again, what's the standard of our love for each other? Christ's love. We're to love each other in the same way that Christ loved us. But the verse go on and it says, "And hath given himself for us." Has given himself for us. We could as well, though our King James translation is tremendous, we could say that he had given himself in our place. That he became our substitute. That he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 declares, that we received his righteousness and he received our sin. He took us our sin upon himself, went to that cross, died there in our place, doing what? Paying the penalty of sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He died to save from spiritual death, reconciling us, bringing us back into that relationship with God. But secondly, he died to save us from physical death. Indeed. He died to save us from physical death. All who are saved will be, not might be, not could be, will be resurrected to life. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 19, he said, because I live. Huh? Because I live, ye shall live also. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the penalty. The Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke those words to his beloved disciples there in John chapter 14. He was preparing to go to the cross. He was preparing them for his departure. That indeed, that he would be leaving them behind. But he wanted them to know. He wanted to prepare them for that resurrection. The promise that was to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Death could not keep him captive. But that he would rise from the dead in, hey, not just partial victory, but complete victory over sin and its penalty. And they who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they who know the Good Shepherd, will share in that victory. I love it. Let me say it again. Because I live, ye shall, not maybe, shall live also. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes concerning that resurrection. He says, when Christ, you listening? It's good. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Thank you, Lord. Does that sink in? It's not a maybe. It's not a could be. It is a will be. It shall be. But lastly, we see that Jesus also died to save from eternal death. Spiritual death, physical death. But Jesus also died to deliver us, to pay the penalty of eternal death. You know, it's a reality. Some of the cults want to try to teach us, convince us, there's no such thing as everlasting judgment. They teach, the JWs would teach, that when you take your last breath, if you haven't handed out enough of those papers or sold enough of those watchtowers, then you're just annihilated. It's all over. That's a lie, beloved. That's a lie, straight as it is. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, I think I can believe what he says. He says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire. And notice who this everlasting fire was prepared for. Prepared for the devil and his angels. That judgment of hell's fire was originally designed and ordered for Satan himself and the fallen angels that followed him. And in the 46th verse of that 25th chapter of Matthew, it says this, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Those are words from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he knows what he's talking about. And when he says that there is an eternal death, and in that sense, what we're trying to describe is a death that goes on forever. That's not an annihilation, but an eternal punishment. Now, it's not the purpose of our message today to speak about hell, but rather the hope that transcends that. But just so that we're clear, there is such a thing as an eternal judgment. Just as you and I today rejoice in eternal life, there is also an eternal judgment. Now, the simple fact of it is, because there is eternal life, there must also be eternal judgment. Punishment for sin. When we leave, though, is in our Good Shepherd. The answer in our Good Shepherd. We rejoice in these words. We love them. We learn them from John chapter 3 and verse 16. Can there be sweeter, more precious words to you and I this morning? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Shall not experience that eternal punishment. Shall not experience that everlasting fire. Shall not enter into that everlasting judgment. They shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, what is that based upon? How can you make that declaration? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Good Shepherd. Huh? The Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Yes, indeed. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Good Shepherd, as we've said, he said, he giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ, your shepherd, if you know him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, paid the penalty for our sin. That's how you and I can worship today. That's the joy, the declaration that fills our hearts today. Because there's a Good Shepherd who gave himself for us. Oh my. We also need to remember, there's no more payment that needs to be made. No more payment that will ever need to be made. We understand that Jesus' payment was a complete payment, that it is the price, the penalty for sin is paid in full. There's not going to be some clerk come along the way about 30 years into the millennium and say, now it's time to pay up. It's not going to happen. You're not going to lay your head down for the last time and wake up in glory with someone saying, now you owe the bill. The payment has been made. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, made the payment. The Good Shepherd laid down his life so that he could offer that free gift of salvation to us. You know, I don't think we emphasize that enough. You know, we talk about there's nothing we can do, there's no way we can merit that salvation, but the other side of it is that Jesus died to give us, to provide for us that salvation that is ours in Christ. There's nothing you can do to earn a gift, is there? You don't have a birthday party for your children, and then just about the time they're ready to open the gifts, tell them, now you've got to pay the credit card bill. No, of course not. It wouldn't be a gift anymore then. No. Two of my favorite verses of Scripture in all of the Bible is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Mentioned this the other night in our Wednesday night study. I love those verses. They're so very special to this sinner. And I believe, beloved, as you see yourself Now listen, I'm not here to offend you. I'm not here to upset you. But as you see yourself as the sinner you are, you'll value those verses all the more. You'll have a value for the grace of God that you'll not understand otherwise. I shared this on Wednesday night. I'll share it now. You know what my fear is for these children? Is they won't have a good understanding and value of the grace of God. I'll explain in a minute. Paul wrote to that Ephesian church concerning the subject of their salvation. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Thankful God saved me when I was 22 years old. Thankful that I wasn't 42 years old when God saved me, or 62 years old. I'm thankful. But I'd lived long enough to understand what sin is. I lived long enough to be involved in enough sin to realize the wickedness of my own heart. I'm thankful my daughters got saved when they were little. I'm thankful. Pray, oh my, now that they're all grown up with babies of their own, I'm praying still for them and for those babies that God keep them from sin. I don't want them to understand how ugly sin is. But the reality of sin in my heart makes me appreciate the grace of God all the more. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would not be here today. Because of this salvation thing that our good shepherd, out of his loving care, has provided for us. Hey, if it was up to something you could do, you wouldn't be here. Because there's nothing you can do. You can't do enough to merit, to earn the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. So when I read those words, by grace are you saved. Through faith. What's that all about? We throw those words around. We say, well, just put your faith in Jesus. What's that mean? Do you ever wonder how a lost person feels when you tell them that? Just put your faith in Jesus. That's tough. We know the lingo. We know the vocabulary. That person you're witnessing to down at work or at the store, or that neighbor, or hey, maybe one of your relatives. It's different for them. It took 2 years for it to soak in. Well, I'm a different, a little thick. By grace are you saved through trusting what Jesus did for you. By grace are you saved believing what Jesus did at Calvary was sufficient to pay the penalty of my sin. By faith not in ourselves, faith not in the church, faith not in mom or dad, but faith in Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, who he said himself gave his life for the sheep. Oh my, should we fall in love with this good shepherd? That's why the sheep want to follow the good shepherd, huh? Oh, they've seen what the good shepherd's done for them along the way. They know that, hey, this shepherd, he cares about us. And he's there to do for us, to meet our needs. And we're going to look at all that good stuff along the way. This morning, just that we'd grasp
We have a good shepherd. Amen. He's a good God who didn't have to do anything for me, but he chose to give his son, became that sacrifice for or in my place, paying all the penalty for my sin and for your sin. Dear one, I don't know where you're at today, but before we leave this room, I want to say this to you. Jesus died for you. Paid the price for you. But just as the Word of God declares, your salvation is a gift. And I could hold out a prettiest package to you all day long, but it doesn't become yours until you receive it. God holds His Son to you. The Good Shepherd gave Himself for you, and He says, here am I. Take me, receive me. I'm my Father's gift to you. Please. Beloved, if there's any question, any doubt, the slightest concern of where you'll spend eternity, why? Why leave this place? Why go a moment longer? The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 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 If there's any question of your salvation, please, please, for your eternal destiny's sake, Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, I thank you this morning for Jesus. Thank you for our good shepherd. Thank you for this one who laid down his life for us. Thank you for his amazing, loving care. And Lord, might we, as with David, rejoice in the Lord our shepherd. And Father, I'd ask you on behalf of anyone that might be here today, with that question, the slightest question of where they'll spend eternity, oh God, please show them Jesus. Might they see Jesus and His great love for them, His great concern for them. Might they see how Jesus did everything for them. And that indeed that salvation, that deliverance from sin, is a gift that God has prepared for them. Oh, Father, today, help them to trust Jesus, to indeed believe that Jesus died for them, and as simple as a child, place their faith in Him. We love you, Lord. For all of us here today that have been saved, maybe for a long time, pray that we might fall all the more in love with the Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd who gave us life for the sheep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 2.